السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja, and you with me, inshallah, for another 50 minutes. And today we speak of one of the great ulama that had visited our shores, one of the senior ulama where many of our elders and our ulama kiram were linked to spirituality, and that obviously is the personality of Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab, rahmatullahi alayhim. To discuss about his life and speak about him, we have a guest today who is not new on Radio Islam, well known for his programs on the radio, Hazrat Mufti Siraj Desai. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Saab, we speak of one of the senior ulama and one of the giants obviously in the field of tasawwuf and reformation. But before we go into those things, perhaps an introduction to Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab rahmatullahi alayhi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Maulana, indeed it is an honor to speak about these great personalities. Of course, we are nowhere near the status and rank of these people, but speaking about them is also a means of earning Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And of course, the important thing about this whole program, which we hope we can focus on, is the legacy and the legacy of teaching that these great awliya left behind. Hazrat Haji Muhammad Farooq Saab rahmatullah alayhi is originally from India, and he and his family, of course, were residents of the famous city Aligarh, which is today a very big and teeming city in India. And he was born there, and then, like so many of the people from India, when the partition came, when India and Pakistan, or when Pakistan was formed, then they migrated and they came to settle in Pakistan. In this particular case, Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab rahmatullah alayhi, who, as I said, was born in Aligarh, and he was born in the year, according to our or the records that we have, he was born in the year 1943, and after 1947, so he was still a child when they migrated to India, and or rather to Pakistan. And as it happens, when people made that journey, they made that hijrat, they settled in wherever they found it convenient. And in this particular case, Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab and his family, when they migrated to Pakistan, they settled in a city called Sakkar, which is in the Sindh province of Pakistan. And of course, Sakkar is also an historical city. In fact, Hazrat himself, rahmatullah, used to tell us that Sakkar was one of the places, one of the areas through which Muhammad bin Qasim passed when he made that epic journey into India, crossing Pakistan, and when they took Islam to that area. So Sakkar is definitely an historic place, and whoever visited it will tell you the number of or the historical data that is contained there. And so Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab, originally born in India, but spent the major part of his life in Sakkar in Pakistan. And of course, it was from there where he began his islahi or his spiritual connection and ta'alluq with Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah, and it's from there where he launched or where he started his khanqa and his tarbiyat as well.
Mufti Saab, when you say he started his ta'alluq and his relationship with Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi, obviously you'd done a program with us previously on Mawlana Masihullah. Where did this relationship and connection start with Mawlana Masihullah from Sakkar, and obviously how did it find itself going throughout the years, Mufti Saab?
Okay, let's first start with one aspect of Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab's life. What was so unique, that from a tender age, he had this sort of inclination to the Ahlullah and the Awliya Allah, and that is something that he was mentored. What he was mentored by his father in this direction. It was his father who always encouraged him to be in the company of the pious people. And from the age of 12, he initially used to attend the majlis of Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Phulpuri Rahmatul Alayh. Now, Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Phulpuri, who was also from India, was the Khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatul Alayh. And he used to visit Pakistan, so at that age, that stage, he came to Satkar, and he spent about 2 weeks, and every day, Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib would sit in the majlis and in the gathering of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Ghani Sahib Phulpuri, and that is, of course, where he, let's say, the desire to make his islah and the desire for tarbiyat and tazkiyah was developed. And then later on, when at one stage when Hazrat Maulana Masihullah visited Pakistan, it was then, and also he was in more or less the same age, 12-13, when he established his first connection with Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh. And Hazrat used to say himself that it was just like when he met Hazrat Maulana Masihullah, it was as if automatically there was like some bond, some hidden bond that just threw them together. And you know, this is so unique that generally when you have especially in the case of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah, when the youngsters would come to him, he would treat them very nicely, very kindly, but he seldom encouraged them to take the bath. He would leave it to the discretion of the parents, and he would leave it, or maybe wait for a later age in life, and he would sometimes tell them, look, don't worry about that now, you can worry about this later in life. But in the case of Haji Farooq Sahib, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah, he actually advised his parents that this boy, I can see some good in him, and he needs to take bed. I would like him to come into our silsila and take the bed. So it was unique that the Sheikh himself made this request, and that set off a wonderful relationship, a relationship of great barakah and blessing between Hazrat Maulana Masihullah and Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And of course, he was living in Pakistan and Hazrat was in India, so he would come quite often whenever he had the opportunity. In those days there was difficulty with regards to visas, and there were still tensions between the two countries, so it was not easy to get visa. You only probably got a visa every second year or every third year. And I remember when I was studying in Jalalabad, on at least two occasions I met Haji Farooq Sahib when he came from Pakistan to spend a few weeks. Sometimes he would stay about 2 months, spend that in Jalalabad in the company of his sheikh. So that was the start. And as we can see now, and this is some lesson for our youth, that from the age of 12 we had this great personality associating with the pious people, and growing up in that environment, and then from the age of 12 or 13 taking bath at the hands of a sheikh, definitely you can imagine the clean and pure life that this youngster grew up in, and how he developed with regards to his spirituality, with regards to his own reformation and his tarbiyat.
Dear respected listeners, we're speaking to Hazrat Mufti Siraj Desai, and we're discussing Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. Many of us must have met him, heard his lectures. Sometimes in Ramadan they play his zikr as well. We might not be aware that it is his zikr, but nevertheless, at some point or the other, we must have met him, inshallah, or benefited from his talk. And we're basically discussing his life and going through some of the things that there is to learn. And Mufti Sahib is giving us a great lesson, especially for the younger ones coming now into the holidays. It's basically on the doorstep. Many of the parents are worried. But do one thing this holiday and try to link yourself to somebody that is pious in whichever way you can, whether it is in Jamaat, whether it is going to the pious, and just trying to clean your heart and make it such that you have that link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this definitely will benefit yourself first and your family at large as well. Mufti Sahib, obviously this link of with Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh of 2 months at a time, and obviously growing, would have grown to be a very special bond between the two of them.
Yes, undoubtedly. Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib had a really intense love and respect for his Sheikh. Like if you look at a few things that stand out, there are so many things. Of course, some things, you know, I can't even recall, but things that I heard and I heard from others. Like they say that he would hear the name of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah, he would suddenly be filled with so much emotion. And Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib, from a young age, he developed a heart problem. I think he was about 38 years of age when he started having this heart problem, and it lasted till the end of his life. But in spite of that, he could be house sick. But the moment the name of his Sheikh is mentioned, or he receives a letter from his Sheikh, it was like some unseen inspiration that came within him. And just to give you an idea to gauge the respect that he had for his Sheikh, when he would receive a letter from his Sheikh, then he would go to the masjid, make wudu, and offer two rakat salah. And after that, he would open the letter and read it. And with so much respect and love and inclination, and not once, but he would read it several times. And for him, that was something really, something that brought him great and immense joy to receive a correspondence from his Sheikh. And that is why there were times when he would come yearly to Jalalabad and spend those 2-3 months in the company of his Sheikh. And when Hazrat Masihullah Rahmatullah used to go from Jalalabad, from India, to visit Pakistan, you can rest assured that a few weeks of that trip was spent in Sakkar, and of course in the khidmat of Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So the relation that he had with his Sheikh, and this is, it can be epitomized in the mission that he would always state. Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib used to always say that my mission, till as long as Allah gives me life and strength, it is to spread the teachings of my Sheikh. Now, this is also a feature in the life of the awliya Allah, especially those that were dedicated to their Sheikh and their spiritual mentor, that they were able to, that they sacrificed their time, their money, their efforts in traveling just for this purpose, and that is to spread the teachings of the Sheikh. And this was, as I said, a feature in the life of Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, where it was that bond that he had with his Sheikh that made him so keen to spread these teachings. And those who sat, I'm sure many people, in fact people listening also, a lot of people in South Africa, they would have sat in the talks, in the bayans, the majalis of Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib, and they would tell you that he would always refer to his Sheikh and quote the statements of his Sheikh, quote the incidents and his personal experiences that he had with his Sheikh rahimahullah. Now, you'll notice that when you look at, especially those who understand tasawwuf, and you look at the different spiritual orders, you find that those awliya Allah that had this type of intense love for the Sheikh, the respect for the Sheikh, you find that Allah Ta'ala granted them special nur and acceptance, and they were able to do much more work than others comparatively when it came to the spreading of the Sheikh's teachings and using the Sheikh's methods in terms of tarbiyat and so forth. So this is just some of the characteristics, things that characterized Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib's relationship with his Sheikh.
What is that? Haji Farooq Sahib, was he an alim by profession, or was he just in the company of his Sheikh?
Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah did study. He studied, and he began his studies in Sakkar under the local ulama there. He studied the Arabic course. And then when he reached the latter stages of his career, or his alim career as a student, then he went with the permission of his Sheikh, he went to Jalalabad. Now remember, as I said, that in those days the visas were problematic. And when a person gets a visa to go from Pakistan to India, they were only allowed maximum stay of 3 months. So what Hazrat Farooq Sahab did, and another thing in him was that he would never do anything without the mashura of his sheikh. Whatever he decided to do, if he decided to start, and that is why all his programs that he conducted while he was in Sakkar, the zikr program, the itikaf program, which was a very, very successful and popular program, did this all under the guidance and the mashura of his sheikh. He would never start anything. So when it came to completing his studies, when he had the final year left, then he took permission from his sheikh, and then he did it in the following manner, that every year for 3 years he would spend 3 months in India, and he would spend 3 months. The purpose of these 3 months was to complete the Dora or the final year, doing the Sahih Sitta and all those famous Hadith kitabs that are normally taught in the end year, the last year, the final year of the Alim course. So he would spend maybe the first year 3 months at the start of the year, then the next year he come 3 months in the middle, and then he came at the end. So at least he could have completed, over a period of 3 years, he could complete the entire final year doing the Bukhari Sharif, the Muslim Sharif, and all these famous Hadith kitabs. So in that sense, he did complete the entire Alim course. But for some reason or other, is more famously known as Haji Farooq Sahab. And I think the Haji title is also, maybe it is symbolic in this sense, that he had a great, great love for Makkah and Medina. And every year without fail, more than once, twice a year, he would go for Umrah, and then he would also go for Hajj. As long as he was able to, he would attend and perform the Hajj every single year for several years. And this is also a dua that he got from his sheikh. He did make this request to his sheikh, that make dua that Allah takes me to the Haramain every year, several times a year. And Allah Ta'ala did grant that to him, and he would be there for Umrah, and in Ramadan one Umrah, and then of course the Hajj. So in this manner, I was saying that because of maybe his continuous love, his excessive love for the Haramain Sharifain and the Hajj that he performed, he got the title of Haji Farooq Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi. But he was an alim, and he did complete the entire alim course.
Jazakallah. Respected listeners, we are discussing the life of Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, who visited our country, and obviously who had a very, very close ta'alluq and relationship with Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah, rahmatullahi alayhi. And our guest tonight is Mufti Siraj of PE. And we're just taking some aspects and we're learning from the life of our pious, because in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept much noor and much blessings for us. Mufti Sahab, we made mention of one of his famous titles, obviously being Haji Farooq Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi. I was reading in my preparation, I was seeing one of his titles called Shafiqul Ummah. Is there something perhaps in there that is more to it that needs the eye, Mufti Sahab?
Actually, this title was given to him. Now remember, these awliya Allah, they were not people interested in titles and any of these, big names that are put before their name. They weren't people like this that wanted this. However, the Muridin, out of their love and their respect, they chose this particular title for one reason also, and a very good reason. The word Shafiq means someone who is very compassionate and kind. Now, Haji Farooq Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, had this wonderful feature, this wonderful characteristic in his life. He was always kind and compassionate to people. No one can ever say at any stage in his life that I went to Hazrat and he was harsh with me, he was unkind to me, or he was inconsiderate. He had a unique, this unique akhlaq of his. Sometimes some people can be kind and compassionate at times, and other times they lose themselves, or they just maybe forget how to conduct themselves. But in Hazrat's case, it was at any given time, whether it's 12 o'clock in the night, 12 in the afternoon, people go there, they come, no matter in how much taklif and difficulty he would be, but he would always be kind to people. He would always, even the murids, when they came for their islah, for their reformation, he would be soft with them and use methods that he that people always found very compatible. And that is why I personally met a lot of people that came into contact with Hazrat, and all of them say that it's just unique that, you know, you meet him and you just find that I can interact with him, I can communicate with him, I can identify with him. So that was why they chose this particular title of Shafiqul Ummah, indeed a person who was compassionate and kind to the Ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Respected listeners, I suppose probably one of the most important lessons for us, and that is naturally kindness towards people, being kind at any time. I mean, to have that consistent kindness until a title is given to you of kindness is something that is lacking in probably all of us, and that is something we all need to learn and imbibe in. And that kindness is something that obviously that's got to perpetuate itself in our lives, the lives of the children and the lives of those that obviously that come in contact with us, and obviously the lives of those that have not yet embraced the faith. And just to be kind and good to them is a responsibility that we all shoulder as believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice upon that. Mufti Saab, what would be the nature of Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab rahmatullahi alayhi? Obviously the one thing we've discussed now is kindness, but in general the nature of Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab?
Yes, and if you look at the basis of tasawuf, that what is when you go into tasawuf and when you look at tarbiyat, you'll find all of the awliya Allah, there's one thing that they really emphasize, and that was humility and tawadu. Tawadu and humility, of course, tawadu is the Arabic word, humility is the English word, and this was very prominent in the life of Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a person down to earth, very humble, and there was never a time when you would maybe even detect or even maybe doubt that this man was maybe acting with pride, or is he the victim of pride. He was always down to earth, that humbleness, humility. Then we have the ikhlas that he had, the sincerity, and this can be borne out also by the way he conducted himself and the way he interacted with other with the awliya Allah of the other silsila, with the buzrugan deen, the other ulama that he came into contact with. You will find that he was always very, very humble, very down to earth. I myself was present once when he came into contact with one of the other khulafa, khalifas of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullah alayh, and this khalifa was I would say maybe younger in age than Hazrat, and also in terms of the ranking that we see, he was of course like a junior, but Hazrat sat in front of him with such respect, even I was amazed. He sat with him like a student sits in front of an ustad, like how you sit in tashahud, with that respect, his hands on his thighs. And you know, Hazrat had this problem of the knees also, he couldn't sit for long in that position, but he forced himself just out of respect for the khalifa of his sheikh. So that was his humility, his sincerity. He had a wonderful quality of generosity. That also was unique, that whoever came to him, he always helped people. When he traveled, he would actually help carry the bags of people. And of course, most of his travels were to the Haramain. So when he goes there, the Hujjaj, he would help them carry their bags, sometimes provide food for them, and then even giving them monetary assistance. Hazrat was a person that loved to make the zikr of Allah. And he would spend hours in the zikr of Allah. When people are asleep till late in the night, he would be engaged in the zikr of Allah. And the sleep, when you speak of sleep, I remember clearly one day, Hazrat said that when someone told him, Hazrat, you need some rest, he says, look, one day when I die, then I'll rest for a very long period. I'll get enough rest, more than I actually need. Now I'm here to do work. So he would sleep for maybe 3-4 hours at night, 12 o'clock, and then up 3 o'clock again, 4 o'clock. So that was his passion. And of course, the passion was just for one thing. He had no other motive but to spread the teachings of his sheikh for that, the purpose of tarbiyat and tazkiyah and so forth. And then I would also like to just to, focus just for a little while on his methods of tazkiyah. That was also unique. Like Hazrat used to say that he's got three objectives in life. Among these three, I'll just mention the three. One is like to serve the creation of Allah, to propagate the teachings of his sheikh in terms of the tasawwuf, islah nafs, tazkiyah, and then to continuously visit the Haramain Sharifain, that is Makkah and Medina Sharif. Of course, Allah Ta'ala granted him that. Allah granted him the second as well. The first one, service to creation, that is also what Allah Ta'ala granted him, the ability to serve people. And his understanding or perception of serving was not only in terms of the physical sense, giving people money, being generous in terms of worldly and material things, but he says even when it comes to the tarbiyat of people, I will go out of my way, sacrifice my time to give people the tarbiyat that they need. And that is why you would find it was not his practice to sleep after Isha immediately, simply because people would come and there would always be people there, and they would want, each one would want a one-on-one session with him. So he would give them time till late in the night, people coming and seeking advice. And of course, all the advice was focused on that tazkiyah and that tarbiyat of the nafs. And many people again, I myself experienced this, that you were able to progress in your spiritual life much easier through his methods and his, let's call it the methodology of his tazkiyah. And how he focused on, there were just three main things. One is he encouraged people a lot to make the zikr of Allah. He encouraged people a lot to adopt tawadu and humility. And the one other objective that he always emphasized was to shun and to avoid sin. Now, he emphasized a lot on this. He would not be so strict on people making extra nawafil or tahajjud salah, but he encouraged people in this direction. And maybe later on, Maulana, if we have time, there is a document that I still have in my possession, alhamdulillah, which was handwritten by Hazrat. Very 5-6 lines, in which he actually captured the essence of the tasawwuf. And that's something unique. And if you allow me later on or now, yeah, I can just give you the basic, just that document, and read what Hazrat had written there about what the tasawwuf is and how he would, how he approaches the idea of tazkiyah and tasawwuf. Because we know that tasawwuf, especially in today's times, is not so well understood by people, and even those that are in tasawwuf, they sometimes fail to grasp the reality and the crux of what tasawwuf is all about. So Hazrat gave it in a very beautiful way. If you want me to go over that now or later on.
You want to do that first, or you want to do it through to South Africa first, whichever one Mufti Saab wants to go with?
Okay. Let's
We are on the topic, Mufti Saab. We might as well finish this aspect of his Mufti Saab.
Because this is, of course, it's related to the tasawwuf. So Hazrat writes here, and this is in his own writing, and also Hazrat has a unique style of writing the Urdu. He says that firstly, مقصود الطريق رضا الهي ہے. That means that the object of tasawuf is the pleasure of Allah. Number two, اصلاح نفس فرض ہے اور بعد سنت. He says that the اصلاح of the nafs, that means reformation, rehabilitation of one's lowly self, one's desires, one's nafs, that is a farz act, something compulsory. However, the bad is sunnat. And Hazrat used to put a lot of emphasis on this. And in fact, at one stage, when he was in South Africa, when he was in Johannesburg here, then he had requested me to also draft out a small pamphlet on what is bad and what is the reality of bad. And then he, because of people's misunderstanding, and he would emphasize that the bad is something that is sunnat. It's like a mustahab act. But more important than that is the islah of the nafs. Then he says that tahzeeb-e akhlaq ke liye kisi ko apna bara banana zaruri hai. For the reformation of one's character, it is necessary to have a senior spiritual guide. You must have someone to guide you. You cannot do this on your own. You cannot traverse this particular journey single-handed. You need the help of someone who can take you and walk you along this journey, and that is what we refer to as a sheikh or a spiritual mentor. Then he says that adatullah yuhi jari hai ke faiz bawaste hota hai. He says this is the system of Allah, an age-old system of Allah, that one only gains spiritual benefit through the medium of a sheikh. You can't really make progress in your spiritual life when you try to do things on your own. And then he goes on to say that asal kamyabi ittiba'i shariat kasrat zikr aur tark maasi se hoti hai, that if you want real and big success in life, then that will come by doing three things: following the sharia, making a lot of dhikr of Allah, and shunning sin. So following the sharia, that means following Quran and Sunnah, engaging a lot in the dhikr of Allah and avoiding sins, that is how you achieve your success in your spiritual life. And then at the end he says that in order to protect your iman, especially for the murids, it's imperative that they read the malfuzat and the lectures of Hazrat Mawlana Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi, or the lectures of their own sheikh if these are available in print. And he says reading the books of the sheikh, it's like in place of the sheikh's company. So if you cannot be in his company physically, by reading his books and his lectures, you are like in the company of the sheikh. And the final point here is that for those people also who are not in the company of the sheikh, it's important that they keep corresponding with the sheikh. Correspondence, and then fulfilling or following the advice given in that correspondence, that is also an integral part of the tasawuf journey. So in this manner, he sums up tasawuf, and that is exactly how he would take his murids along this path of tasawuf and tazkiyatun nafs.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. I think it's something that perhaps after the program I would just like to take it from you in full, but that we'll do inshallah on another time. So coming to another aspect about Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, obviously his trips to South Africa for us was key. That is where we learnt about Hazrat, and that is where we obviously got to know about him, obviously him coming to South Africa. When did the trip start, and obviously what were some of the outcomes of Hazrat's trip to our country?
We know that Hazrat Mawlana Masih Maud rahmatullahi passed away in the year 1992. And Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahab rahmatullah alayhi only started coming to South Africa about 3 years, actually 4 years later. When he came and when we came into contact with him, and at one stage he was asked this question, that Hazrat, now when people started meeting him and sat in his majlis, and then they realized what a valuable person this is, and of course those people who had ta'alluq with Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah, when they met Haji Farooq Sahab and when they would sit in his talks, they were sort of reminded of all those past majalis of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah. So it created a greater love and inclination towards Haji Farooq Sahab, because he was like reviving the teachings of their sheikh. So then people asked him, people would tell him that, you know, Hazrat, you should have come long ago. The moment Hazrat Masihullah passed away, you should have come. So his reason was that he said that although my fervor and my intense desire was to spread the teaching of the sheikh, but it took me some years to really muster up the courage to come to South Africa, because he says that I don't believe I can fulfill, now this is his humility, that I don't believe I can adequately fulfill the shoes of my Sheikh, the journeys that my Sheikh undertook here, the atmosphere that he created and the yearning that he instilled into the hearts of people for tasawuf, the love of Allah that he instilled, love of Rasul alayhi salam. I don't think I can fulfill walk in those steps. So it was an enormous task for me, but eventually upon insistence by the murids and by other ulama, I then eventually made my mind up and I undertook this journey. And since then, for those 4 years from 1996 right up to 1999, Hazrat continued coming yearly. He would come, and of course we know, the people in South Africa know of the tremendous benefit that people gained, the benefits that they gained through his presence here. And I think the real, let's call it the pinnacle of his trip was, of those journeys to South Africa, was when he made the i'tikaf in Madrasa Zakaria in the masjid there. And that was in 1998, if my memory serves me right. And of course I was for that i'tikaf there. It was really wonderful. There were over, I think, about maybe 500 people that joined in for that i'tikaf. So then on these journeys, again, Hazrat displayed some unique features of akhlaq. Like, it was amazing the respect that he gave to the other ulama, and even respect to the mashayikh or the khalifas of other spiritual orders, of other ulama, not only those that were connected to Hazrat Maulan Masihullah. And he always had this, that you know, our purpose is to unite and to bind people, and it doesn't matter which spiritual order you belong to, which sheikh, who is your sheikh and who's my sheikh. We all are what they say, the spikes in the wheel that is taking you in one direction. We all belong to that same silsila, and the target is the same, and that is to bring people closer to Allah. That is why you found that wherever he went in South Africa, ulama from all walks of life, they were able to interact with him, and they were actually attracted to him because of his humbleness and the fact that he was prepared to speak to people and prepared to associate with anyone who was part of that particular silsila. I remember also one of his majlis that he had out in, this was in Durban, and I still have that on record, we call it on tape, alhamdulillah, through Allah's fadl. And actually it was through Hazrat's request and his du'as also, that I would translate a lot of his talks that he would give the majalis. And so I've got a lot of notes that I made on his speeches and his majalis and his sometimes, you know, informal talks that he would give. So I've got these notes, and I remember clearly the one where he spoke on unity. Yeah. He spoke on unity, and one point that stood out that I still remember and I still share it with people in my talks is that he says that if you understand a person, if there's ikhtilaf between people, there's, of course, ikhtilaf means there's no dispute, but you understand the background of the other person with whom you have the dispute, you understand his mindset, you try to understand from where is he coming, then he says, actually, you will be removing the basis of the dispute. To have this ikhtilaf and difference of viewpoint, that's nothing wrong. And you understand, okay, this man is saying this because this is what he believes, I'm saying this is what I believe. So you have that understanding, like we say in our terms, that we agree to disagree. This was a very focal point of Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahab in his talks and even in his private meetings with people. And if you come to him, you say you've got a dispute, you would find, I know many times people would tell me that, look, can you translate for us, tell us, I've got a dispute with maybe my father or my brother or my cousin. And then you'd see how he would go about to try and reconcile the parties by making them think good of the other party, making them think good So obviously, when you start looking at another person's background in a positive light, then you lose that enmity. You start feeling sorry for the other person. So that was again another wonderful feature in these methods of tarbiyah. And as I said, this was particularly noticeable when he came to South Africa. Of course, we spent time with him in Pakistan as well, but there you are more focused on your own Islam. When he came to South Africa, we would travel with him. Then you see the interaction with people meeting him. And of course, we were very fortunate. It was Hazrat's kindness to us that he allowed us to sit in and observe how he treated people and how he sort of interacted with people, even people from different viewpoints and people with maybe different mindsets.
Mufti Sahab, we've somewhat exhausted our time and it was many messages coming in. You've brought back some good memories with regards to Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. Mufti Sahab, your notes, is there a book coming in the future, inshallah?
Okay, let me just inform people that we have this, it's a series of Hazrat's Majalis. It's known as Ifadat-e Farooqi.
Okay.
It's a compilation of all his Majalis. And I must just get the address. Maybe I can forward it to you later on where these books are available. It was first available from the late Ismail Karolia Saab, who used to live in Crosby. Of course, he is late now. Allah Ta'ala grant him Maghfirat and Jannah. He was very, very close to Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi and very instrumental in the publishing of many of these books. And this used to be published under the name of Maktaba-e Noor. That was like the publications department where these majlises would be published. So these are available in English, and inshallah there will be more coming out, as I understand. The name is Ifadat-e Farooqi. There are some other books of Hazrat also available. For instance, a very useful booklet is The Day and Night of a Mu'min, where he takes you through a 24-hour cycle of ibadat and amal, what a person needs to do, how you should spend your life from the time of Maghrib sunset till the next day sunset. That's another useful, and there are some other publications, but as I said, we just need to get the address where this is available, and I'm sure that people will really enjoy these majalis and the discourses of Hazrat, where he speaks on different topics, of course, and of course the way he speaks of these, the way he treats these particular topics is very interesting. It makes for interesting hearing and even reading.
Okay,
those who understand Urdu, the recordings are available, the recordings of the majalis, and definitely when a person understands Urdu and you hear the original talks, that is wonderful, and it's got a different, you know, there's a different type of feeling to those when you hear those talks directly from Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi.
Mufti Sahab, Jazakallah so much for your time this evening. It was really emotional and educational. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Respected listeners, it was with Mufti Siraj Desai, and this evening we were discussing and we were profiling Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahab rahmatullah alayhi, one of the great personalities that visited our country. Obviously, time is short and we would require many of the ulama and the other guests wanted to come on air. Inshallah, we will do a program whereby they will come on air and share their experiences. We've just reached our time. We haven't yet taken the air break. We'll take the air break, inshallah, and on that we'll close the program for this evening. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.